you are listening to Savior of the Nations Come. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today is a Rumination Tuesday, November the 27th in the year of our Lord 2018, which means we have with us, also I can hardly say his name, Pastor Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing real good. I better not lose my voice. I've got 15 more sermons to do this month.
Ready for Advent?
Advent. Already? Yes.
This coming Sunday.
Yes, I know.
I love it. I love Advent.
And that was one of the hymns, Savior of the Nations Come. And I always ask you, did Martin Luther write this?
No. Did he? German version, Martin Luther. How about that?
You don't even know
I looked
that.
At St. Ambrose there. Ambrose of Milan. He did the text. And the German version is Martin Luther. How about that? I didn't realize that.
I know you didn't. That's why I asked. Yeah, every course. Time I ask
you're
you.
You're always trying to put me on the spot.
No, yeah. I'm just asking. Did Martin Luther?
He sure did.
Actually, it is the hymn by St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan. And it was Latin he wrote in it. And you are correct that Luther's German version is a literal translation of the Latin, except that he does substitute a doxology for the final stanza by Ambrose.
Yes. You know, Ambrose was very instrumental in Augustine, St. Augustine.
Yes.
In his Christianity. And,
right.
Of course, Luther was an Augustinian monk. So there's
yes.
really a connection there between Ambrose and Luther.
They say that in the history of hymnody, this hymn is the Advent hymn par excellence.
Well, there's 8 verses. I mean, there's a lot of theology there.
Yes, a lot of it. So, without further ado, would you start with the first stanza?
Savior of the nations come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I did not have the tape on, so I just put the tape on. And we're looking at Savior of the Nations Come, the hymn for Advent. And you say, Savior of the Nations. Why the word nations?
Well, he came to redeem the whole world.
And that doesn't mean just Jew. It also means
Gentiles.
Yes.
All nations.
I think that's a very important
point.
Go and
make disciples of all nations.
So how did he come as the virgin son, make here your home?
Well, he was born of a virgin, of course.
Yes.
As that verse says, marvel how, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth as this.
Why would he become a human being? Why didn't he just set up a system whereby we're saved, apart from him becoming a human being?
Because he had to redeem us. He had to be man. He had to be man in order to redeem man.
Yeah. Human beings alone can save other human beings in God's understanding. An animal can't save.
No. He had to be a sinless human being, too.
Yes, because if he was not, he would be dying for his own sin.
His blood had infinite value, sufficient to redeem the whole world and people of all time.
That's how you can understand why, therefore, the devil tried to tempt him. Because if he could have been tempted, he would have sinned.
Think of that. We would all be headed to hell. No chance.
And this next stanza is really kind of important, if you'll read that.
Not by human flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring, pure and flesh.
Now, what does it mean, not by human flesh and blood?
Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our... he was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He did not have a biological father.
A human father.
Right.
Yes. Also, it wasn't something that humanity set up and decided to do. Paul talks about that when he was called to be an apostle. It wasn't by man's choice or his choice. It was by God himself. It gets back to that question I always like asking. When you go to heaven, to whom will you give the credit, all the credit for your salvation?
To Christ.
Yes, it's always Jesus. So it's not by human flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of our God. That's what's so amazing with Mary. She says, how am I going to be with child? I do not know a man.
Yes.
And, oh, well, the Holy Spirit is going
to come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee.
And she believed it.
Yes. I mean, she herself knew that she was a sinner.
Yes.
You know, how will this come to pass? Well, the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
Yes, in her song later on, she refers to Jesus as her Savior.
My Savior, yes. She says, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She needed a Savior, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, last week's sermon, you know, I love starting with a question. And I say, you know, there's distinctions of Jesus. Is he human or divine? Answer, yes.
Yes.
Is he prophet, priest, and king?
Yes.
Answer, yes. Is he almighty? Is he all-knowing?
Yes.
Is he ever-present?
Yes.
And then here was the question. So Hugh here would agree that Jesus did not know everything.
That was a question.
Yeah.
Who here would agree that Jesus did not know everything? He had access to his divine omniscience whenever he did not always use it. That's the difference. He did not always use his divine almightiness, his almighty power. He did not always use his omniscience. Sometimes he would ask the disciples, what's your name? Remember? Yeah.
So the answer is he did not know everything at all times.
Yeah, I think right. That's the accurate way of saying it.
The one was, it was the text where he says, judgment day is not known by the Son,
that's
only
right.
By the
Absolutely.
Father.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a good reminder. Yeah, that's right. During his state of humiliation.
Well, that's the thing that was the sermon about. I said, that's the other distinction, his humiliation and exaltation. What verse do we get that from? Philippians.
Verse? Oh, boy. Yeah.
2.
No, I don't have that. I don't
he
have
humbled
that
himself.
He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross.
So you do have it. And then God highly
exalted him.
That's where the term.
And gave him the name above every name.
See, when I'm humiliated, that normally means I'm embarrassed.
Oh, yes.
But in that case, it meant he humbled.
Yes, right.
You know, and so I did make the point that you make all the time, that he had these powers, did not make use of them. And then can you think of an example where he used it in a state of humiliation when he was on a boat and there was a big winter, big storm?
Yeah, when he told, peace, be still.
Exactly. Boy, you know the Bible pretty good.
Well, Tom.
You should be a pastor. Oh, you are a pastor. But that wasn't. A lot of times he prayed to the Father.
Right.
Who did a miracle there. But in that case, so he did use his might. But I was saying, had he not been in a state of humiliation, God never gets tired. God
That's
never
right.
gets hungry.
That's right.
God doesn't have to sleep.
That's right.
God doesn't feel pain, and he never dies.
Yeah.
But in becoming a human being, he went through all of those.
That's exactly right.
For our sake. So that's Advent. We should tell the people where the word Advent comes from.
It comes from coming. It means coming.
Venera.
He comes to us, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he comes to us. Well, the first Sunday, I think, talks about his Palm Sunday entrance. He comes to us in the Word and sacrament.
Right. There's two readings for this Sunday for the Gospel. The one is all about Judgment Day, and the other is the Palm Sunday. And, I've never quite figured that out except for his coming, you know, is why they do Palm Sunday. But I'm going to be preaching on First Thessalonians instead, which is
I usually save Palm Sunday for Holy Week.
I do, too. Right. Although Monday, I did the fourth reading, the psalm.
Uh-huh.
That was really got a lot of good stuff in it. So I went through that yesterday. Okay, third stanza.
Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne.
That is hard to understand.
Yes.
How can he be in the womb and still be on the throne?
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are some that hold that Jesus entered the world through closed doors, so to speak. Not violating Mary's virginity.
Right.
You know, some hold that. Others hold that, well, she was a virgin, but that he entered the natural way through the birth canal. What do you think? Any thoughts on that at all?
Since there's no Bible verse for the first one, then I assume the second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's simple.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
That's what I've always held.
Yeah.
In fact, I was amazed when I first heard that idea that he all of a sudden just appeared.
Well, you know why?
Why?
They want to believe Mary is ever virgin.
Yes. Uh-huh. Semper virginis.
Yes.
Always a virgin, yes.
And there's no biblical evidence for that.
Right.
They talk about his brothers and sisters, which could be from Joseph's former marriage if he had been married. And sometimes the term is cousins. But we as pastors got to be real careful when we say something like that, that that becomes an opinion.
Yes.
Rather than doctrine.
Right.
You know, and boy, it was really, I was listening to a Roman Catholic station recently when I drive around. And this particular priest was talking to somebody who needed counseling over the phone. They have those. And was telling them that they really need to turn to the Virgin Mary for help.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go right to Jesus.
I know. Yeah. I'll read 4. Then step forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man. His heroic course began. So that's, you see, there is just no evidence for what we believe in Christianity. How can it be God of God and fully man? The only reason we believe that is that's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Yeah. But
that's all the evidence we need.
That's all the evidence we need, God's word, because it goes against human reason, but it doesn't go against human logic. The Bible is totally logical. It's just not reasonable from our point
of view. People don't always understand that.
No.
Maybe you could explain that. What's the difference between reason and logic?
Yeah, reason and logic. Okay. If I say somebody just came in the door and I said, oh, look at those three persons over there, and you turn around and see only one person.
That's not logical.
No, no.
Well, it's not reasonable.
That's not reasonable.
Okay. All right.
But logic and all, when I took the course in logic, it's used throughout the world. If A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. So if I said a cow is a horse and a horse is a dog, therefore a cow is a dog. That's logic.
Okay.
But it's totally unreasonable.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay. From the Bible, it is clear that the Father is a person, the Son is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, but there's only one God.
There's only one God, yes.
See, so that's
logical.
But it's not reasonable.
But not reasonable.
In fact, everything we believe in Christianity
is logical.
But not reasonable.
But not reasonable.
I mean, you look over your congregation and you decide you're going to count the number of sinless saints sitting there. We wouldn't get past 0.
Right. Give us one more example
of that's
logic,
an example.
Logic and reason.
That it's not reasonable to think that people who are Christians are totally sinless and righteous in God's sight.
That's not reasonable.
No, not at all. But by the way, the text for this Sunday says exactly that, because it's talking about from God's point of view. I don't want to say too much here, but that God establishes your hearts blameless in holiness before God. How's that possible? Because Jeremiah 33 says, this is a name by which the Messiah will be called the Lord
our righteousness.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, that's not reasonable at all.
Right.
But it sure is that's logical because right. right. it says it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are getting messed up thinking that Christianity is reasonable and they can prove the evidence of it. It's impossible. Until you believe the Bible. And in fact, many times when they try to prove it, they use Bible verses, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous. Because if you don't believe the Bible, we're living in a kind of a postmodern age in the sense that you've got a lot of unbelievers. I was reading a book by a rabbi who said Jesus, yes, he was crucified, but when they gave him that wine,
yes,
it vinegar. Was actually a drug that feigned death. So it appeared that he died when he really hadn't.
Oh, boy.
And the trouble is he finally did die because of the sword.
Yeah, exactly. The javelin pierced his side.
But he lived long enough to appear before people before it took over.
Oh.
That's what he says, because it's not reasonable to believe that. Stanza 5.
Yes. God the Father was his source. Back to God, he ran his course. Into hell, his road went down. Back then to his throne and crown. That's talking about his descent into hell as well as his ascension.
Yes. A lot of people, though, into hell, his road went down, they would think is the crucifixion.
It's his descent.
Well, that's
Apostles'
Creed.
Crucifixion. Right.
But he did experience hell on the cross.
Right, he did.
My God, my God,
my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
That's hell, yes.
So you have here a kind of a Apostles' Creed. Back to God, he ran his course. And that, of course, is referring to the ascension. Because back then to his throne and crown. And that's best found in Revelation chapter 5, when he appears as a slain lamb. And takes from the right hand of him who sits on the throne, God the Father, the scroll that he begins to open.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something. Back to God, he ran his course. Wouldn't that be where he told, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise? Is that what it's talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's not talking there about his ascension.
Yeah. In fact, that's a really good question, and nobody gets it right. We believe that Jesus died on Friday and rose on Sunday.
Right.
So how is it possible that he says that today, on Friday, you'll be with me in paradise?
Well, let's not forget that the day for the Jews began at nightfall.
But that still doesn't make it Sunday. That's 3 days later.
Yeah, this very day. Oh, well, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
My spirit.
My spirit, right.
In other words,
sure.
Jesus was a human being.
Right.
Therefore, like all human beings who are believers, the day you die, your body goes in the ground.
That's right.
But your spirit goes to heaven.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't think about that. That's why he was in heaven
sure.
with the believer,
sure.
the thief.
That's right.
Okay, 6.
For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won. By your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul.
Yeah, all our ills of flesh and soul. That occurs here on earth. First of all, that anybody who is healed of a disease is really because of the power of God.
Right.
In fact, if you're able to get up in the morning and walk around, that's due to
that's
the power,
by the power of
God.
Yes.
Yeah, because look how many people can't do that kind
and
of thing.
And he works through men and medicine as well.
And he won the victory in his flesh, which means his humanity
right.
won it for us. 7.
From the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides.
Now, that last sentence is not reasonable, but it certainly is logical. That faith resides in the light. What does Jesus say? I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
That's right. And he brings life. And
in thy light, you know, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
That's good. Yes, that's another good passage. And that occurs from the manger, because that's what the angels are singing to the shepherds.
Yes.
And then they go to find the baby. Yeah, it's kind of shines in the glory through the night. Now, here the word night doesn't mean morning, night. It is talking about the darkness. The
darkness of sin, death.
Exactly, yes. Referring to that of the devil himself. Where darkness there no more resides. Now, see, that's interesting. It says his glory shines through the night, but darkness there no more resides. See, that
right.
doesn't make any sense.
Even in the midst of night, there's light.
There's no darkness.
With Christ.
Because you have to look at
even
this.
If you're blind, there's no darkness.
Yes.
If you have Christ.
Yes. Yes. That's a good point. And you would agree with me that if you're blind here on earth on Judgment Day, you'll have your sight back.
Yes, I would agree. I would. Yes, I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, this is the last verse that Luther appended.
Is that right?
Yes.
Glory to the Father, sing.
Right.
Glory to the Son, our King. Glory to the Spirit, be now and through eternity.
Yes.
So he added that to the...
That's what he added to Ambrose's hymn. It's kind of one of the churches I'm helping with. The organist always plays an amen after every hymn.
Always, always, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
See, there's none here, but he still does it, which is fine with me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That settles the... Nobody will complain about that.
Because it says, this I believe.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah. That's really kind of interesting. You going to be using this hymn?
Probably.
Yeah. Have you decided what you're preaching on yet?
No. I had a full day yesterday, and I just didn't get around to the sermon at all. But I hope to today.
Yeah.
I still got to decide what I'm going to do for Advent.
Well, what do we normally do for Advent? Isn't it one of the other readings from the Sunday? Or do you have
a theme? I'm talking about my midweek services.
I know, but that's what you're normally supposed to do. The readings are the same as the previous Sunday.
Uh-huh.
There are no special Advent readings.
I usually do a lot of singing and intersperse that with readings.
Well, if I did that, people would leave. Because I don't have your voice. I got a voice to speak, but not to sing. Yeah, I could put my wife in the pulpit and that won't work. No. So, Advent. Is this one of your favorite seasons or?
I would say so. Advent. I like Advent and Lent both. I really do.
Yeah.
I wish Advent was as long as Lent. That's my
really?
Only complaint. I wish it was twice as long at least.
So, start earlier? Because you have to end it at Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Because there's three Advents.
Sometimes I wish Christmas were later. I wish it were more in January.
Really?
Lengthen it out a little bit longer.
Well, that's interesting.
But, you know, that's...
All righty. Guess what?
What's that?
The music.
We're done.
We are done. Tomorrow, a Bible study that we're going to be doing for congregations. Tune in at 9:30, especially if you have a group, and then talk about it afterwards. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.